Why it's been to be with you this week. Amen. I want you to know that Laura and I always consider it an honor to be with you, and hard to believe this is the 10th year. That's 10 years. Boy, you all just keep on putting up with stuff. That's all I can say. But thank you for having us. It's been a joy. It's always great to be with you. Your pastor, Brother Craig, and he's been here. You see, I've been coming 10 years, so that puts you over 10 here. That's a long time to be pastoring one church, but I'm glad to see that, because most pastors only go for 3 years. And when the honeymoon is over, then they want another honeymoon, you see. So the honeymoon at churches usually lasts about 3 years, and then it really gets good after 3 years. You really get to know your people. And you become part of their lives. Thank you again for having us, Brother Craig. And it's good to be with you and Heather. It's always a joy. I remember when the couple got married and they were serious about this marriage. They still are married. Amen? And that's a good thing. Thank you again for all you've done, the love offerings, the good food that you've given to us. And I know I'm speaking on behalf of my wife, Laura. We're always thankful for the way that you treat us, and it's always a privilege to say thank you for all that you've done. Also, the nice place that you have given us to stay this week, we appreciate that very much. It's kind of ironic. The owners are here tonight, Chuck and Tammy. I don't know if you reckon they're the ones that own that place, and what a nice barn and breakfast. I'm telling you, our bed and barn. I'll get it right here. But that is one outstanding place for, you know, pastor and his wife to stay. We thank you all for offering that very, very much. Thank you all for letting us be there. So, and we really appreciate that so very, very much. Amen. Y'all feeling pretty good tonight?
Amen.
Good. Some of you are here for the first time, and we thank God that you're here. I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, the message that I'm going to deal with tonight is kind of a springboard of an old message in 2009. It's not the same sermon, all right? But it's something that God has given me that's similar. I don't know if I've ever preached this here before, this similar message. I may or may not have, but you probably won't remember it if I get into it anyway. But this is something God has given us recently. Take a swig of this good old H2O. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, and after we read a couple of verses, I've got one more verse. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. So we'll read that verse after we read out of 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 19. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being with this great church. And Father, I thank you for the dear pastor here and his precious wife. Thank you for this congregation, Father, has been loyal all of these years. We pray your blessings upon this church. And Father, we just ask you tonight now to meet with us. Help us in this message to be a blessing and a help to these folks, Father. They've come another time. They want another dish from the spiritual table tonight. The food that you give to them, I pray it'll be something they can use. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 19 with me. We have also, notice this now, a more sure word of prophecy. Catch that now, a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, keeping in mind, verse 19, we have also a more sure word prophecy. Then in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, another text verse, catch this now, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I want you to grab a hold of this. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. I want to deal with this thought, some things that are sure. Some things that are sure. The word sure means dependable. It is something you can count on. When the Bible says that something is sure, it is trustworthy. You can hang on to it. You can depend on it. When the Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy, when God says something is sure, we need to grab a hold of that thing. We need to hang on to it, because there's a lot of things in this world and in this country that is not sure. And I want to look at some things. First of all, before I look at some things that are sure, some things that are not sure. Some of you will like this, some of you may not. Number one, the government is not sure. Now, we're living in a time, at this time of the year, the politicians are coming. They're knocking on your door. They've got their signs up everywhere. You can go on television. They've got their political ads. And they say, vote for me. I promise you this, and I promise you that. And when you put them in office, they won't even give you a bag of M&Ms. Amen? Amen. You say, preacher, but don't you love America? I certainly do. I believe we live in the greatest country with all of our faults. I believe we live in the greatest country that a man or a woman can live in. But history books bring it out that politicians will rise and they will fall. They will rise and they will fall. You cannot count on the government. Amen. You say, well, Brother Paul, I'm counting on the Democrats and the Republicans. Somebody dropped you on your head when you were a baby. Amen? You can't do that, folks. The biggest disappointment you will get is when you start putting your faith and trust in the government. Amen. They will fall. These politicians will rise. They'll fall. We're going to have to vote on some this coming November. I realize that. And, of course, I'm going to go with conservatives. I can't help it. I go for the ones that I believe in, stand with what I believe. But you can't put your faith in man. Because even though you may vote for somebody that holds your views, it does not mean that they won't fall. Don't put your faith and trust in politicians or in the government. Number two, you cannot say, and they are not sure, that's gold and silver. Gold and silver are not sure. Now, I remember when I was growing up, my grandmother used to tell me about the Great Depression. I don't know if anybody here is old enough for it, but she said this was about 1929 when this thing happened. And she said, Paul, don't you ever get caught up in money. She said, during the Great Depression, when everybody lost everything that they worked for, they would get a .38 pistol and put it to their brains and blow their brains out. Or they would jump up in a skyscraper and get on a skyscraper and jump off simply because they lost their money and they lost their savings. Now, what happened? They put their faith in trust in gold and silver, and if they would have studied the Word of God, they would have realized that gold and silver are not sure. I'm glad my hope tonight is not in silver and gold. My hope tonight, Brother Rex, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? If you have gold and silver, it cannot buy you peace. It can't even buy you health. Amen? Men, watch it now, that are rich would give every penny that they have when they're about to die, if they have a disease where they've had nothing but pain and suffering, and they were about to die, they would give every penny that they had if God were to say, you give everything that you have now, and I'll give you one solid hour of good health. I guarantee you they'd pay everything. Or something else. Money will not buy you one more hour of life. Money will not buy you peace. It'll not buy you health. And men will slave for money. And when you get it, what do you have? Don't know, I ain't got none, so I can't tell you. Amen?
Amen.
But, ladies and gentlemen, some things that are not sure, the government is not sure, gold and silver is not sure, and number three, employments are not sure. You can work for a man for 30 years, and he'll call you by your first name, call you Bob or whatever, put his arm around you, and tell you what a good job you are doing, and then give you a pink slip the next day. You say, well, Brother Paul, I've been there so long, they can't do without me. You better be careful the way you sleep. Because if you sleep too much on your side, your brain's going to leak out of your ear. Amen? You know what's happening here? You got too much confidence in employments. You got your confidence in the wrong thing. It is not sure. Now, there's some things we're going to look at that are sure. But employments are not sure. They can do without you. They can do without you. You might hang on and say, I'm indispensable. They can't do without me. Yes, they can. You just let them lose a few bucks or two, and you'll find out how quick they can do without you. Amen? Something else that's not sure. Your friends are not sure. Now, if Bob pats you on the back or she pats you on the back and tells you what a wonderful man or a wonderful woman you are, you better watch out for it. You cannot count on friends. Why? They're flesh. They're made out of the same stuff you are. You cannot count on friends. There's only one that you can count on. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only one that'll never let you down. It's the only one that you can hang on to, and you know he's going to be there through thick and thin. You say, well, Brother Paul, I've known that man for years. He won't let me down. My Bible tells me in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, to have no confidence in the flesh. And the worst hurt that you will ever get in your life as a man or as a woman is when you put too much confidence in man. When you put too much confidence in the flesh or that friend of yours, they'll let you down. Why? He's made out of the same stuff. You say, well, preacher, that's the saint of God over there, but that saint of God is made out of flesh. Amen. See this stuff right here? One day it's going to die.
That's right.
Made out of dirt.
Yeah. Amen.
Nothing but trouble.
That's right.
You can't depend on yourself. I mean, look in the mirror. You're seeing somebody that begged for the funeral. That's all it is. We are going to die one day, and for you and I to get too close to someone that we think is a saint of God, we're going to be let down every time. You want to know how rotten you are? Leave the right guard off for a day.
Amen.
I guarantee you by the end of the day, no one's going to want to be around you. Amen. We'll begin to smell. You say, preacher, why in the world would we smell? Because we're rotten. We're deserving of eternal hell. We're made out of flesh. And the worst fall that you will have is when you get your eyes on man. Too much on man. Better get you shouting in now. It's going to get worse before it gets better here. Amen. Number five. Something else that's not sure. Get this one. It's you. Self. Now, I don't trust me. Amen?
Amen.
I guarantee I don't trust me. I don't trust you either. Amen. You say, well, preacher, that hurt my feelings at the church. I don't think I'll go back to that church no more. Have this attitude that I'm not going to go back anymore because they said something or they hurt my feelings or they didn't make me feel welcome and so forth. I guarantee you one thing, that is not one that's trusting God. They're trusting too much in self.
Amen.
Proves how wicked we really are. Worst fella I know is the one my right arm is hooked to. Worst fella I know is the one that's preaching to you tonight. And I can tell by looking at you, hellcats, you ain't much better off either. Amen? Amen. You know what I'm saying? Your body is flesh. You can't trust you. I guarantee you there's nothing about you that you can trust because you're made out of flesh. Your flesh is not going to go to heaven. Your flesh is a candidate for the graveyard.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, I hate to lose the body that I have now.
I want to lose it. I want to take this thing back. Yeah, I want a new one. Yeah. I want a new body that God was talking about. Amen. Yeah. I want that brand new body that God's talking about. This one gives me trouble.
This one gives me fits. This one hurts sometimes. Amen. This one has temptation sometimes. But the body that I'm going to have in heaven is going to be a brand new body.
Right.
Some of you men in here, you need to be very, very careful. I run into men and say, well, I'm strong, preacher. I never forget my first church.
Back, I was a young preacher then. That was about 1978. And the deacon of the church took me out to visit some people. And I was with him and I was learning the ropes. And I wanted to have confidence in this man because he'd been saved a long time. And he says he was going to go to this, wanted me to go with him to visit this woman at a house, but her husband wasn't home. I said, well, I've always thought that you shouldn't go and visit a woman by herself. He looked at me and he said, that woman could be naked and it wouldn't bother me. I got a little nervous at that. I thought he might have been one of them.
I want to get away from him. I said, what's the matter with this guy? Amen? That ain't normal. Glory to God. You see, I don't like that kind of preaching. The devil don't like it either. Amen. I am trying to say you can't trust yourself. Your body's not that strong. You don't have that much strength in you. Just some of you men in here think that you can finagle your wife and go on down to Biloxi Beach or going down to Myrtle Beach and when it's summertime and walk out there with those half-naked women out there. All they're wearing is nothing but a handkerchief. Amen. Nothing but a handkerchief. And I guarantee you there that you've got your wife finagling to say, honey, if I go to that beach with you, you're going to be the only one I'm looking at. You dirty liar, you. You stinking good-for-nothing liar, you. I am trying to tell you tonight, you can't trust yourself. You can't trust your flesh.
Amen.
You should never allow yourself to be in a situation like that, where temptation is going to take over. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you go to church. I don't care how long you've been saved. You're not that strong.
Yeah.
A dirty shame that men think that they can handle themselves. And women are just as bad. They're just as bad. You know, you women all the time always looking at how dirty us men are. But look in the mirror, you're just as bad. And sometimes you have an attitude on the job and just so you can get the attention of the man over there. You know what causes that? It's the stinking flesh that causes that. Thank God that we can be saved and have help from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with all of these things in our life. The flesh is Adam. Hang on now. The flesh is Adam. That's what we are. The flesh is Adam. You've heard me say this before, but there's you want to know how wicked your flesh is? Have you ever heard of silent cussing? Well, the first kind, I call it is door cussing. You say, what is that?
Well, you argue with your wife. Argue with your wife. And then all of a sudden she goes in the other room and you get the door and you go, that's door cussing. Amen. You said it under your breath.
You may not have called her a name out loud, but you said it under your breath, slammed the door in her face. Door cussing.
There you go.
Now, some of you like what I was preaching till now. Amen. How about, remember the one I used the other day? How about the old horn cussing?
Yeah.
Horn cussing. You know, somebody pulls in front of you down the highway. You know, you're going down the highway about 50 miles an hour, and somebody pulls in front of you. And here you are, a member of Daniel Town Baptist Church. You're a good Christian, you know. And somebody pulls in front of you, and all of a sudden you get behind that horn, and you go, honk, honk, honk. I'm behind you. I'm cussing you. Get away from me. I'm a horn cussing you. Something, you weren't saying praise the Lord, glory to God. I guarantee you. You got to start pulling that horn, start blowing that horn. You were what we call horn cussing.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, why? Because of the flesh.
Amen.
Your flesh is wicked. I don't care if you, where you go to church. There was one church there that I said something like this, and the guy actually was horn cussing somebody. But they had a sign on the license plate, after he did all this horn cussing, follow me to Calvary Baptist Church. Amen? Think about that. Better watch out what kind of sign you got on your car. You say, preacher, why does that happen? Because the flesh is corrupt. The flesh is wicked. The flesh is not sure. It is not something that you can count on.
Quit looking
at your watch. We ain't ready to quit yet. Amen.
Yeah.
Number six, something else is not sure. The health that you have.
Yeah.
I've seen folks out going down the high, you know, down my neighborhood.
He's got 55 years old. See, just a chop. Just getting out of breath, you know. And I said, what you doing? He can't catch his breath, you know.
And what's happening here, he's about to work himself into a heart attack. Amen?
Yeah.
My Bible tells me that bodily exercise profiteth what?
Little.
Amen. Not much at all.
Right.
People stop pouring vitamins.
I mean, they get the blue ones. They stop pouring those vitamins in their mouth, trying to get the health, you know. Then they try the red vitamins. Then they try the silver ones. Amen? Then they try the blue ones, you know. Then they try the yellow ones. They're trying everything to try to get in health. Let me tell you something. Your health is not
yours.
You cannot depend on health. You might be healthy today,
but tomorrow you may not be healthy. My Bible tells me one thing you can depend on. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Like I said, couple times this week, 100 years from now, this whole bunch is going to be wiped out. There's not going to be a soul 100 years from now sitting in the pew that's here tonight. Are you going to die? You say, oh, preacher,
I'm talking. I'm going to live, preacher. I'm going to live. Oh, boss, you're going to die. Amen. You're going to die. It's not something you can depend on in life.
You cannot depend on your health. It is not sure. Amen. In fact, one day, that last breath is going to be emptied out of your lungs. I've been by the side of 15 people that have died. I heard one preacher say he was preaching, would you believe, twice as long as me. Had only seen one. In 38 years of preaching, I've watched 15 people take their last breath. One thing I noticed, Brother Rex, they all die the same way. The air leaves the lungs. Oh, by the way, you won't have to practice dying. Hang on now to what I'm going to say. You will never have to practice dying.
You're going to do a good job. Laying down in the bed practicing dying.
We want to live. We want as much of this life as we can have. That's a normal thing. But the health that you have tonight, if you are in good health, thank God for it, but it's not sure. I want you to know that tonight. It is something that is not sure. It doesn't last very long. And you can exercise it. You can do everything you can. You can take this pill and you can take that pill. You can take vitamins. You can do everything you can for this body. But this body is deteriorating. It's not going to last forever. It's going to die. It's going to the graveyard. You're either going to be cremated or you're going to be buried. But you and I are going to die. Say, preacher, you're making me feel bad. I'm not trying to. I'm trying to tell you the truth tonight.
Amen.
Life is short.
Amen.
If you're here tonight and you've got good health, thank God for it. But it doesn't last forever.
Right.
Now, you can say, I don't like you, preacher. I'm not worried about that. I want you to like me because I preach the truth. But if you don't, I'm going to give you the truth anyway.
Right.
I've been preaching too long to start lying to people.
Amen.
I'm trying to tell you, life is short. And health is something that's not sure. But there are some things that are sure. You ready? First of all, this book right here. This old book right here, that's 1611 King James Bible. It's sure. Amen? My Bible tells me over here that the Bible says that we have a more sure word of prophecy. It is sure. You can count on it. You say, well, preacher, they're trying to change it. I don't worry about it. God has the original on his desk. Amen. Thank God for it. My Bible tells me heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. Amen. My Bible tells me in Psalms 119 and verse 140, thy word is very pure. Amen. John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You can count on this book. This book is sure. It'll never pass away. You say, well, preacher, I got underneath my arm, everywhere I go, my big King James Bible. Well, I hope you got it more than under your arm. Now, this is where some of you are not going to like it. I hope you got some of it in your heart. Amen? You say, well, preacher, I'm a King James Bible man.
Well, tell me something about it.
Amen.
Tell me something about that book if you're a King James Bible man.
Amen.
A lot of folks brag about I'm a King James Bible man. And I wouldn't have another version. I'm with you.
But glory to God, I want you to tell me something about it. Tell me some of the doctrines in here.
Amen.
Tell me about those things that you hear this man preach about. Do you know something about this book? You say, preacher, but I believe it. But what do you believe about the old King James Bible?
Right.
Every week at Ridge Memorial Baptist Church, when I'm not in revival, I try to feed my people every Sunday. This man right here tries to feed you every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. But some of you are not growing.
You know why? You won't eat.
Amen.
Right on.
Come on.
Like a little baby here. Right now. She's a sheep. Amen. Not that way. But you ever notice, Don, I don't know about your baby, maybe you do. But this happens. You know? Especially that green. That green vegetable, so I wouldn't eat it. But you get that little push it out because of how it tastes, you know.
Yeah.
So you get another little spoonful of that stuff, you have a little bit more of that green, terrible, tasty stuff. Put it down in the little mouth, you know, and that tongue. What's the matter? Won't eat.
Yeah.
You know why it won't eat? Because it don't taste too good.
They
don't like the way it tastes. They'd rather go ahead and not eat that stuff. So they go ahead and try a little bit more. And you try to put a little more of that. Just pushing it out with his tongue. You know something? That's the way some of you are.
Listen.
Brother Craig gets up here and preaches something, and he says, I don't like that. He said, let me feed you some more of this Bible truth there.
Oh, yeah.
It is. I'm trying to do it. I like that. I don't like the way that tastes. It tastes terrible. But of course it does.
Yeah.
Those things that are in the Word of God, sometimes they don't taste good.
Yeah.
But you're trying to get it down into your heart, where it'll strengthen you, where it'll help you to grow, where it'll make you a stronger Christian. But instead, you want to, like that. He's preaching on my sin. It makes me nauseate. Why don't you try eating what he gives you? You got one of the best teachers in this country. If he wasn't that, I wouldn't have him on the staff at Slidell Baptist Seminary. People all over the United States take Creighton Loveless's courses.
Amen.
Now, if you think I'm going to let somebody train other men and other women that I didn't think had saturated themselves with the Word of God, you got something missing there in your mind. You got one of the greatest pastors, one of the best teachers that one could have, and I thank God you're on the staff. Right before I left here to come in this revival, I was telling him we have 2 or 3 more new students. We get them every week, people signing up for his courses all over the United States. Creighton Loveless, boy, the same voice you hear at Q&A, the same voice that you hear from preaching behind this pulpit, is wanted and accepted, and people are eating what he teaches them. And here you are. You got the pastor of that does all this as your pastor in this church, and some of you won't even eat what he gives you. That's all right. The whole country is going to eat what you got. Amen. Better start eating it instead of this. I like that, Craig. Start eating what the Word of God is being given to you by the man of God. We need to try to understand what I'm preaching tonight. It's sure. The Word of God is sure. Just like I want my people to grow. Brother Craig wants you to grow. He wants you to mature. This book ought to have meaning to you. Some prefer to read books of psychology and books of psychiatry and things like that. You know what the problem is? It has no foundation. The foundation of the Lord standeth sure. Now, this is where the message is quite different from what I had back in 09. Right here. Never had all this in it. But the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. I want you here, and I know Brother Craig does, want you to have a sure foundation. Your life needs to be built on the foundation of the Word of God instead of taking the word of some man on television or some man that claims to have a psychiatry degree or something like that. Get what you've got here in the Word of God is the only thing that has a sure foundation. The Word of God standeth sure, the Bible says. You can count on this book. And if you're here bragging about, I'm a King James Bible woman, or I'm a King James Bible man, get as much of this book as you can and learn the Word of God and come to everything this church has to offer you because you've got a great teacher, amen, as well as a preacher. There's something else that's sure. That's your salvation. If you went, by the way, and the way is the Jesus way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, preacher, but I hope I'm saved. You have no anchor for your soul. If you've got a hope so or maybe so salvation. You say, well, preacher, I'm trying to make it. I'm trying to hold on.
You don't hold on to anything.
That's right.
Amen.
Jesus Christ and
salvation is a sure salvation.
You say, preacher, but I'm a member of so-and-so church. That won't get you to heaven. You say, I'm a Baptist. That won't get you to heaven. I mean, I'm Baptist too. That's not going to get me to heaven. You're not going to heaven because you're a Baptist. You're not going to heaven because you're a Catholic. You're not going to heaven because you're a Methodist. You're not going to heaven because you're a Presbyterian. You're not going to heaven because you're a Church of Christ. You're not going to go to heaven because you're a Pentecostal. You're going to go to heaven if you put your faith and trust in Him and Him alone. Because Jesus loves you with all of His heart. And He died on the cross for your sins. How dare you try to go to heaven around the Lord Jesus Christ. He shed His blood at the cross at Calvary. He shed and He suffered and He bled and He died so that you and I could have our sins forgiven. All the things I brought out that were not sure. This old flesh is going to die. But thank God, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the moment you leave this old world, you'll immediately go to heaven. Thank God. Salvation is real. My Bible tells me that we're preserved by the Word. My Bible tells me we are kept by the Word. The Bible tells me that no man can pluck me out of the hands of God. Somebody said, well, if I be good, I'll make it. Somebody told me that the other day. I hope I've lived good enough to get to heaven. You're not going to ever live good enough to get to heaven. Because nobody deserves to go. Nobody can do good enough to get to heaven. In fact, the best that you can do, the Bible says, all our righteousnesses are as a filthy rag. And the best that you and I can do in our own efforts is like a dirty rag. God wants us to come to His righteousness. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, you're giving people a license to sin. Don't you lie on me. I've never given anybody a license to sin. I'm just preaching that you're kept by the power of God. What's the matter with that? Aren't you glad? Amen. So quit your worrying if you're going to make it. If you are saved, if there was a day in your life, hang on now, when you're not joined the church, not got religion, not turned over a new leaf, but there was a day in your life that you realized you were lost and you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can hang on to that. You're heaven bound with the hand of God.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Some of you look kind of big when you learn. That's the one of the characters. He's like, now, if I do this, you get a cloak. Now, if I do this, you get a crumb.
I just want to see if you're still listening. Amen?
Yeah.
I believe you are. I'm almost finished. I don't like to preach too long. All right? What I'm trying to tell you, cast it all to Jesus Christ. Then there's the third thing, and I'm almost finished. It's sure. It's a sure judgment. It's a sure judgment. My Bible tells me you don't have to turn, but let me just read you the scripture. Romans 2:2. The Bible says, look at this, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth.
Amen.
Against them which commit such things. My Bible tells me in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Amen.
You know, God will either judge us now or later.
Amen.
Now, we'll be judged for our works, but I'm talking about your life, your sin. You say, preacher, but you don't know what I've done in my life. We've all deserved to go to hell. First of all, let me tell you, you say, preacher, but I'm a dirty sinner. We all are. You're honest, at least. Thank God Jesus died for sinners like you and I. And He'll judge you for every sin you've ever done on the cross at Calvary. You say, preacher, I've never been saved. You ought to come this tonight, that is, and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you for all of your sins. And God will judge your sins tonight. And your slate will be clean, white as snow. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. Maybe you committed adultery. Maybe you've lied. Maybe you've stolen. Maybe you've been dishonest. Maybe you've even been Maybe a homosexual. We don't know about it. I'm trying to say, I don't care what you've done. God will forgive you. And he'll save you. And he'll wash you clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no sin too big for the Heavenly Father. You come to him tonight and say, oh, I'm a dirty sinner. And Jesus Christ will come into your heart. And he'll save you. And he'll set you free. He'll take every sin you've ever done in your life. And you'll have salvation. Watch it now. That's sure. God knows, though, whenever he judges us, he'll know whether we were for real. Your wife may know, or your wife may not know, but God knows. He says, be not deceived. You say, preacher, I'm saved. Now, hang on, I'm about to finish. You say, preacher, I'm saved, but I've done some terrible things lately. What do I do? Aren't you glad 1 John 1:9 is in the book?
Amen.
That's for Christians.
John included himself. He said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I don't care what you've done.
God will forgive you. If you're saved, you're his. You say, preacher, I've messed up. I've almost given up. There's some people give up after they get saved because they find out they can't live a perfect life. They ain't no perfect people. They're not a perfect man or woman in this room. If you were perfect, you'd never die. You'd never be part of that message that I talked about. You have to practice to die. You're going to die because you're a sinner. But thank God if you're saved and you've messed up, God will take you back. You just mean business with him. You say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. He'll forgive you. But if you're not saved, if you've never been born again, Jesus loves you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what sins you've done in your life. He'll take you tonight and he'll save you. I don't know if there's anybody here not saved. But if you're not saved, come to him tonight when the music starts. And we'll be glad to show you how to go to heaven as we get ready for our invitation. I've been preaching to you 30 minutes. Tonight was 45, but I had to get it all in. All right? Let's pray. Let's let God do what he wants tonight in your life.